O Lord, uphold me that I may uplift thee. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There are a few passages in the Holy Scriptures that are as well known as chapter 3 of Gospel John, verse 16. There are a few passages in the Holy Scriptures that are as well known as the 16th verse of the third chapter of St. John. Like the 23rd Psalm, many of us have been taught from the time we can understand the English language, I'm sure. We were taught how to memorize and pray these words, which convey one of the pivotal messages of the Christian faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. As I look around here, I can't see anyone who does not remember those words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But even if the statement is on the tip of everyone's tongue, as the passage is read from the gospel, these words are seldom heard in the context of Nicodemus's visit to Jesus in the dark of night. Now, who is Nicodemus? Why does he come in the dark of night to talk in secret to the capital L-I-G-H-T, to the light, to Jesus? Nicodemus is a good Old Testament student, a faithful leader of the Pharisees. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night seeking to learn more about him, about Jesus. Their conversation is one of the more dramatic conversations narrated in the Bible. The story is the first discourse by Jesus recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, and is sometimes called the Discourse. As always, Jesus meets the inquirer exactly where he is, for he knows exactly what the inquirer wants to hear, so he can be converted. What is remarkable about this moment, however, is Jesus' rhetorical approach as he teaches Nicodemus. Jesus knows what Nicodemus thinks and knows. So he uses Nicodemus' knowledge of the story of the Exodus and the brazen serpent to connect with the Nicodemus, who knows all about the story, as a teacher and a man who needs to be engaged at his level of understanding. So now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite you all to join me and stand near enough to Jesus and Nicodemus to hear and learn from the conversation. We can hear how rich and thought-provoking the conversation is. Jesus is talking with Nicodemus about who Jesus is and what Jesus has come to do. He's trying to explain about being born again and new life, about redemption and new beginnings, about the power and blessings of the life in the Spirit of God. So Jesus refers to an event with which Nicodemus is familiar. He says to Nicodemus that just like Moses lifted up a bronze serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man is to be lifted up. Jesus says that his work in this life, his place in the love of God for all creation, is to do for the whole world what that serpent did in the wilderness. The serpents come into this story in Numbers as a consequence of the Israelites' lack of trust and the faith. Here, Jesus compares himself to the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness. So what is this serpent on a pole? To answer this question, we only have to read again the first reading taken from Numbers. We know that as Moses took the children of Israel down from the Mount Hor, and as they set off by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, the people began to complain and whine to, as you say in modern day language, to bellyache, gripe, and grumble. They questioned, "Why did we ever leave Egypt?" They wish they were somewhere, anywhere else. As you might expect, God was tired of all the whining and self-pity. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and when the serpent bit someone, that person died. There were a great number of serpents. So the people came crawling back to Moses, apologizing and beginning for forgiveness, begging for forgiveness. As a consequence, God tells Moses to put the bronze image of a serpent up in the middle of the camp and place it high on a steeple. Now let me digress and say here that serpents, metaphorically speaking, are evil actions and doings. So then Jesus tells Moses to tell all the people that when they are bitten by the snakes, if they will look up at the bronze serpent, they will not die. But if they do not want to look at the bronze serpent, they will die. You have to think very carefully about this. The Israelites understood that the turning of their heads towards the serpents symbolized at that time, a turning of their hearts towards the mercy and power of God. See how the metaphor is working? It was a physical act of faith to look at the serpent to acknowledge their dependence on the mercy of God. Their healing did not come from the bronze snake, but through the promised word of God. When they were bitten by the poisonous snakes, they knew that they were unable to help themselves. Their looking at the bronze serpent was the act by which they cast themselves upon the presence and power of God to give health, healing, and wholeness. So when Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus, brings up or refers to the brazen sign being lifted up in the wilderness, it is not simply the lifting up that Jesus is pointing to in his teaching. He is talking about himself being like a serpent, for he is the Son of Man. And he says to Nicodemus that the Son of Man is to function in the world and for all creation. And when the Son of Man is lifted up on the cross, he will be the most hopeless being in creation at that time. The Son of Man lifted up on the cross will have been hung up there by the powerful military, religious, industrial, economic complex society. The Son of Man lifted up there on the cross will be the one despised and forsaken by his friends. The Son of Man lifted up on the cross on the hill will have been stripped of all powers and reduced and humiliated to his absolute bare humanity. If there is to be any future, if there is something good to come out of the lifted up man on the cross, it will have to be by an act of the gracious and redemptive power of God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, now that we have listened to the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus and have reflected on the story about Moses leading the Israelites and their encounter with serpents in the wilderness, we must ask ourselves, what have we learned? What have we learned? And can we apply what we have learned to ourselves now in the remaining 3 months of 2019 and in the future? I am sure you will agree with me when I say what the serpent did for the Israelites in the wilderness is what Jesus does for us now. In the application of what we have learned, may I say that as you and I go through the wilderness of our daily lives, day after day, metaphorically speaking, as we struggle with the complexities of the monotony of each day, as we look at the TV or tune into the radio and listen to the world talk as though there is nothing possible in the universe outside its own great explanations, as we listen to the so-called experts who tell us that there are no absolutes and that the only reality we have is the reality which we create for ourselves, as we discover that our entertainment, the news, the politics, and corporate ethics are all distorted by the idea that each of us can make our own way in this world, how do we respond? We imagine that we are standing at the bottom of the hill on which the cross is lifted, turn our heads, look up at the cross, and discover new hope. We will be reminded of the power of God by looking up at the cross. And when we encounter any difficulties in our daily lives and are made to feel like we are up to our necks in a snake in a pit, we may look at the cross and allow ourselves to be awakened by faith to a new promise, a new assurance that there is a capital G-R-A-C-E, there's a grace that can lead us. There's a power beyond our own power that can come into and will come into our lives and give us new life. The turning of our heads to look at the cross is the turning of our hearts to God, who continues to act to give us new life when the old one has reached its end. My friends, we live in a world a very complex society. And as a consequence, we will inevitably come into contact with the serpents, metaphorically speaking. That the serpents that crawl around us, if we are bitten by one, let us not lose faith and succumb to the sting bite. But in faith and sure confidence, look up at the cross and pray. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let us pray. O Lord God, who by thy divine mercy has called us to be Christians, servants of the Son of Man on the cross, enable us for the love which he bore unto us to choose the good and refuse the evil, swerving neither to the right hand nor to the left, but staying under the standard and in the strength of the same our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.